Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's the new year. Time to make a positive change in your life.
I went to My Computer Career because I needed job security.
Because I wanted a career in cybersecurity.
I went to My Computer Career because IT jobs are everywhere.
My old job was going nowhere.
I went because I didn't want college loans for the rest of my life.
Because I wanted a career for the rest of my life.
Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Financial aid available for qualified students, including the GI Bill. 529 college savings plans accepted. Not available in Washington State.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over. 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
Hey, everybody. We are back. Thompson to Clark. Brad, we're going to bring back a segment which was very popular with Dodgers fans last year.
Yes. Oh, we got a lot. Yeah, I remember this.
The bitter Giants fans are back. Yeah. But we'll talk about that later because, as suspected, Roky Sasaki is a Dodger. But there's also two other guys, Tanner Scott, and it sounds like Kirby Yates is on his way to the Dodgers as well. What is this?
Good What's going Lord. On? The rich getting, not even the rich getting richer. It's the, you know, it's the fat cats getting fatter is what it is, man. It's just ridiculous.
Are the Dodgers the Elon Musk of Major League Baseball? Could we pin that one? No, we can't pin that one on them.
No, we can't.
They're not that terrible.
No, they're not. They're not racist Hitler-like.
No. So. the Dodgers, the Giants are like, hey, you know, we need some left-handed pitching. Yeah. We're going to go get a guy by the name of Joey Lucchesi. And the Dodgers are like, okay, we'll get Tanner Scott. It's fair, right? No, yeah. It's not. It's not very fair.
Yeah, it's even.
Before we talk about the Dodgers and the Giants and this frustration that we are dealing with, I just want to mention to folks, if you are a new viewer of this show on YouTube, like and subscribe would be fantastic for us. And if you are listening on the audio network, on the BSPN podcast network, and you have not subscribed to the channel, please do that as well. That is very helpful for us when it comes to trying to figure out how to grow both of these networks here. So let's talk about the Hall of Fame thing that does kind of like the breaking news of the day. Yeah. So we had three. Now, this is in addition to, it's not called the Veterans Committee anymore. It's called the, what is it called? Dave Parker and Dick Allen were added a couple months ago, I guess. They were added for the old Veterans Committee, where people who had, their time had been up, but they could still get voted in. So those guys were added. And then today.
I found the name, the Classic Baseball Era Committee.
There we go. and today, the three new guys who are in the Hall of Fame to be inducted next July are Ichiro Suzuki, as expected. He actually came one vote shy of being unanimous. Billy Wagner, so we get another closer in the Hall of Fame. That's pretty cool. A Hall of Fame that is really hard on closers. And then CC Sabathia, whose career kind of reminded me a little bit of what's going on with the Dodgers. Not to make this all about the Dodgers, but, you know, he's with the pre-Guardians, the old Indians, and he's like this young up-and-coming guy. And then the money calls, and the team that can afford him and give him the most money, the Yankees, get him. And that's where he kind of finishes off his Hall of Fame career as a Yankee, or the prime as well. Kind of where we're leaning back towards, it feels like. It feels like those 90s Yankees years are remind me a lot of what's going on now with the Dodgers. But great class. I really like this class. I'm glad that Wagner got in. Again, the Hall of Fame is really hard on closer types because, you know, you're only affecting a small percentage of the game. But still, I think it's really cool, and I'm glad each year. I mean, who's the person who didn't vote him in? Who's the one?
Yeah, probably a Dodgers writer. Mm. Let's just make it all about that, right?
Yeah,
now. Yeah. Yeah, no, I think this is great. I mean, this is a great class. They didn't, you know, Brian Kenny, when they first, you know, started to do the announcement today, he kind of threw out there that, hey, you know, we could be here for a while. We could get a lot of guys in today, but it was cut off after three because Carlos Beltran was just missed it. He was at 75%. The threshold is 75%.
70.3. So he 70.3. I don't know how many votes shy that is, but it looks like he probably would have had to get upwards of maybe close to 300, and he had 277.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they said it was close to like 20-ish, somewhere in there. So, yeah, I you know, CeCe Sabathia is one of those guys, you know, that I always wanted to be a Giant, to see him pitching in black and orange just across from where he grew up in Vallejo. That would have been really awesome. The ballpark would have fit him well. You know, we would have had to watch him hit. That's the drawback, because there was no National League DH at that time. So that would have been a little bit interesting, but nonetheless, Ichiro, also another guy, always wanted to be a Giant.
Oh yeah.
Billy Wagner. Even yeah.
Old. You kind of just would like to see him in that uniform. Even when he got,
yeah.
Like, when he was like not the same guy.
Well, I mean, we saw him have some magic at Oracle, back in the All-Star game when he hit the inside the park home run off of the arcade in right center field. Granted, the guys who were playing the outfield for the National League didn't necessarily know that ballpark as
yeah.
well. You know, Bonds was in left, but you had, you know, somebody in, I don't even remember who was in center field and who was in right, but they're not used to that ballpark. So when the ball was hit off of that, that arcade, they didn't quite play it well. But no, this is a great class. There's no question on any of these. Even Billy Wagner as a closer, I think he was 9 votes off last year.
Mm-hmm.
So to see him get in and make that jump was pretty awesome.
So if they round up,
mm-hmm.
Beltran was 17 votes shy. If they do not round up, he was 18 votes shy.
Okay. So most likely next year, right? Even though he has the little bit of the tarnish of the,
well, I mean, it's pretty clear that the writers see that style of cheating as less bad than, you know, because you saw A-Rod's number. Yeah, some of it is just A-Rod's just kind of a despicable liar in some ways.
So. Well, and Manny Ramirez, too. Same yeah. Percentage of votes because, again,
yeah.
the tarnishment of the steroid era, and then Annie Pettit's down there as well with those mm-hmm. two guys. So when you take a look, and you say, well, it's okay to do. I mean, look at Gaylord Perry. It's okay to spit on a ball, put a little Vaseline, get a little Tabasco, rub it in there. You put snot on the ball. No, that's major league. That's whole thing. But, you know, for Gaylord Perry to get in and guys like, you know, Carlos Beltran to possibly get in. Yeah, it's looked at a little bit different. There's a cheating edge, and then there's a cheating over the top, and they look at, you know, anytime you put something in your body, it's kind of over the top. You can take things out of your body, apparently. Yeah. you just can't put things in your body.
Yeah. So Andrew Jones as well, 66%. What do you know what he did last year?
I feel like
that's higher than
I think he made a jump. I think he did make a jump. Yeah, yeah.
But
I can look it up while you're doing.
Those were your five because the next person was Chase Utley and he got less than 40%. So there was legitimately five guys who had a shot and three of them got in. And what's the number? What's the percentage that you have to get higher than or else you're out of? You're off the ballot for the next year.
That's a good question. I'm less than 5%.
Okay, so it's five. Got it. Because it's surprisingly, David Wright, 8.1%, Torrey Hunter, 5.1%. So those guys barely made it back to the ballot, if that is true.
And they both went down from last year as well. So
less than 5%, Ian Kinsler, Russell Martin, Brian McCann, Tulo, Curtis Granderson, Adam Jones, Hanley Ramirez got zero, Fernando Rodney got zero, Ben Zobrist got zero. Ben Zobrist would be he was a 20 years too soon. He'd be like the perfect baseball player today.
Oh yeah, if he played for the 80s Cardinals also. I mean, that's, you know, Ben Zobrist. He could play everywhere and he could hit, you know, 280 or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah. So, really cool for all of those folks involved. And I don't know. What do you feel about Beltran? Where are you with that style of cheating versus the steroids cheating? I guess in some instances, like, I guess in both cases, there's lying going on as well. So yeah. Integrity and all that stuff.
I guess it's a little bit different, but you know what? Ask each era. That's the question. Yeah. Ask each era. How you and I grew up, competitive edge. I don't know. I mean, that's how I look at it. If you could see somebody else's signs and you can relay them to somebody, competitive edge. Now, if you're using technology, Apple Watches, iPads, which is what was purported, that's a little bit different. I think that's going, but again, there's no hard and fast rules. There's no lines that you're crossing. So again, to me, honestly, steroids in the steroids era, they were not necessarily outlawed by Major League Baseball, and Bud Selig knew it was happening, and that guy's in the Hall of Fame. And it took him a while to put a stop to it, to decide to put a stop to it, because it was making money for the majors. So unfortunately, the players are taking the brunt of that while Bud Selig is in the Hall of Fame. I don't know. I'm fine with, hey, you know, I'm watching this guy. He's tipping his pitches, and we're going to relay that information to the batter. That's part of the game. You got to fix that on the pitching side then and try to get better at not tipping your pitches. And, you know, so they've come up with the pitch calm and the hat, you know, catchers calling that. How long before you think we get some sort of, electronic interception of pitches being called from pitch calm? That would be dirty. I wouldn't be cool with that. That's a little bit over the top, but yeah.
That would be amazing. So next topic number two here is, now I listened to a pronunciation of this name, but I know I'm gonna screw it up. Josuar De Jesus Gonzalez, the Giants international draft or international signing. And he was one of the, if not the top international signing, shortstop. And this one got a lot of news inside the baseball community, the folks that follow the draft and prospect stuff very closely. What did you think about the Giants getting Gonzalez?
That's great. I mean, absolutely fantastic for the Giants. It's something they needed. It's going to take, you know, the Giants know it's going to take free agency. It's going to take farm system. It's going to take international draft for them to build up and be competitive over the years. You know, and that was something that I believe was in the works when Farhan was there. So that's not like, hey, Buster's in and now we're signing, you know, top prospects. But to get that deal done, because other teams were knocking on his door, you know, at the last minute to try to steal him away from the Giants, even though he could kind of made that commitment to him, to the Giants. So for Buster Posey and the team to be able to make a couple of nice trades, Blake Sable, who they DFA'd, were able to trade him to Boston and then get some international pool money back. And I can't remember who else I made a trade with to get some more international pool money and to kind of push that closer to the $3 million mark to give Josuar. Yeah, that's going to be a tough one. We're going to have to really learn that one. I remember doing, you know, play-by-play back in San Jose for the San Jose Giants, and you get the pronunciation keys for the players.
Yeah.
We don't get that here because we're just a couple of dudes doing a podcast, so we don't we don't get the pronunciation keys. We got to look it up. So for Josuar to then get pushed over the line and sign with the Giants, I think that's a big get for them, especially when you look at some of the other money that, you know, the pool money that was given around those players. I mean, Roki Sasaki went number one and he's close to like $6 million. Giants spent $3 million on our guy. And then you look underneath that and you got $5 million, you've got $4 million. So it's kind of almost a steal for the Giants. You know, he's a extremely fast guy, plays shortstop, you know, people compare him to Francisco Lindor. Mm-hmm. Again, he's only 17 years old. We got a ways to go, but it'll be the first time in a little while, a couple of seasons since we had, you know, Luis Matos and Elliot Ramos coming up, that a prospect is going to be looked at under the microscope at almost every at bat and every night. And then his progression through the system, it's going to be a highly touted prospect. And I think we need that. We need that in our system. We also need some sort of promise when we're looking at other free agents to say, hey, look, we're building this farm system. You come over here. These guys are getting closer and closer and closer. So 3 years down the line from now, when he's 2021, you can start to really attract, and I hate to say, and I'm not saying we're not going to do anything between now and then, but at that point in about 3 years, you can say, look, we've built up our farm system, Ramos, Bailey, Fitzgerald, at that point, Eldridge will be there. Adamas will still be there. So you can look at it and start to maybe attract those bigger free agents, because hopefully Kyle Harrison, Wisenhunt, Webb, those guys are going to be on fire. I don't know. I'm so optimistic when it comes to the Giants.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, right? Buster even said it. How do you attract the free agents? Well, you have to win. You have to show them that you're a good baseball team. Nobody wants to come in and just play for the hopeful team, right? You want to play for a competitor. You want to play for a team that puts the they show you what they value by putting their money into the team. And, you know, maybe that's probably the thing coming out of the Farhan Zaidi era, which is what we were kind of promised was that he was going to turn the farm system around because, you know, he's a very smart guy and he had a plan and a process. And, you know, there were moments where it looked like we were on the way, but last couple years, as far as that is concerned, did not really turn out those folks. And, you know, this is where the 3 and 5 year team did it, was through the farm system. All of their, you know, their really good players who helped them win those championships were all homegrown. So that is really the way to do it historically. And so, you know, we've never really gotten the top free agent anyways. So,
right. Yeah.
So that's hopeful there. And you get someone like him and, you know, maybe he goes through the system and, you know, we're talking like this dude's even a few years away from, you know, being in San Jose probably. So it's going to be a long time. I think Grant Brisby said, you know, in 2031, he may hit a home run to win a ball game.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be retired. I'll be a year retired at that point.
There you go.
That's kind of how I look at things. 2030 is when I retire, the end of that year. And so anytime we start to look at these contracts, I go, oh my God, I'm going to be retired for 6 years when that guy's contract expires. So.
But the other thing with this is, you know, you hope that the growth is positive, because what we've seen is that the Giants could get these guys into single and double A, but then the next transition hasn't been great for some of them. Ramos finally showed something last year, had a good season. I think we're all happy with Patrick Bailey, though. You know, he could wake up the bat a little bit more, but you know, someone like Joey Bart, like he was a failure, didn't come from the Zaidi draft picks, but went through the system while Farhan was in charge of it. So,
wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
All right, let's did this a lot last year because when the Giants did not get Shohei Ohtani and then they did not get Yoshinobu Yamamoto, we were frustrated and we showed it. So we're just going to turn it into a thing here. This is our brand new segment called Bitter Giants. Bitter Giants fans, actually. All right, Brad. You thought there was a good chance that Roky Sasaki would sign with the Padres. You talked about Darvish being one of those reasons. But let's be honest, when you saw that he signed with the Dodgers, you were none surprised.
None surprised, extremely bitter. And the reason is because his agent made it clear that during his time in Japan, Roky Sasaki grew frustrated with the hounding of the media, the way they followed him everywhere, asked him questions about going to the USA, playing for Major League Baseball and whatnot, and just the frustration of being hounded. So what does he do? He knows he's going to the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he puts his hat in the ring, makes the rounds, gets all of the, you know, free grub, the free flights, the, you know, fawning over, look at me, everybody take a look at me. Again, he knew where he was going. And to do all of that, and then to eventually sign with the Dodgers in the most chicken-ish move that there is, because at no point do you get the feeling that this guy wants to make a name for himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's riding coattails. It's getting on I don't blame him. I mean, the guy's going to a winner, right?
Yep.
He's going to a team that he could hoist the trophy with next year. He could throw 90 innings next year and hoist the trophy.
And the team is doubling down and spending more money than ever to get this team, you know, to reinvest and put an even better team on the field next year.
Absolutely. So it's the most minimum effort signing for him. Where can I put in the least amount of work? Where can I just show up to daily? Maybe pitch every sixth, seventh day if I even have to go four innings, five innings, maybe get a W, give up two runs, and then hoist a trophy at the end of the season. So I think that's what bugs me the most out of this Sasaki signing, is that he didn't feel the need that he wanted to go somewhere like, you know, San Francisco and work, you know, be part of Grinders, be part of a team that is out there nightly trying to win ball games with the talent that they're putting on the field, which is going to be good talent. It's not going to, I mean, the Giants aren't going to be, I think the Giants are going to be above 500 ball club. I truly do. I think this team is going to be an above, and we'll get, you know, we'll get our predictions out there as we get a little bit closer, because there's still more work that needs to be done. We don't know if first base is settled. We don't know if right field is settled. We honestly don't know if the starting rotation is completely settled back into the bullpen. So there's still work to be done. But to not go to a team where you can battle it out day in and day out and feel like you're part of something, I think that was a little bit chickenish. But that's, again, that's me just being bitter.
Yeah, we're bitter. We're frustrated. We're Giants fans. We 100%. Don't care about the Dodgers. We wish things like gout on their players.
Exactly.
Did you read up on any of the process and how this stuff happened?
You know what? I read up on the pre-process. Once he was signed, I kind of just let it all go. I didn't dig into how a lot of that happened. But I did read, you know, I read the part about the, you know, the presentations, video presentations. I didn't read about how he pared it down to three teams and how he ultimately decided on the Dodgers.
It was pretty interesting. Like, the questions that he asked them was like, okay, explain to me why my velocity was down and what would be the solution for my, you know, to help my velocity come back. So those are pretty interesting questions. And it's,
yeah,
it reminded me, and this is just what free agency is today, of The Bachelor. Like, Roki Sasaki was like the hot 27-year-old, and all of these teams were like the goofball, you know, 27-year-old dudes who are like trying to, yeah, just the idea of how everything happened. And, you know, the Giants were kind of out of it early. And, you know, I think they knew that that was going to be the case.
Yeah.
Came down to the Dodgers, the Padres, and Toronto. How does Toronto keep in the...
Like I said, there's got to be, I mean, we talked about this last time. I don't quite understand. I mean, do people must love poutine more than we think they do? Because, I mean, what the, you know, they're having a hard time giving a deal to Vlad Jr.
Yeah.
They're having a hard time keeping players in the ballpark. But then they go and sign Anthony Santander, five years, $92 million. Again, I think the Giants could have done 5 years, $92 million. But you don't want Santander to play right field
at
Oracle. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, the situation there. But the Blue Jays do have a good outfield in terms of defense. So, you know, it's one of those things. I'm a bit frustrated with the offseason at this point. I mean, you know, Adamas, great signing. Verlander, great signing. But then after that, I think more can be done to build this team up, and I'm not saying it's over yet, and there's still trades that could be made. I hope they're not trades out of desperation. I hope that they are trades out of filling holes and getting players on controllable contracts for multiple years. But again, you have to give up from the farm to do that, and the Giants just don't have the farm to give up at this point. So...
I think it was, I didn't even read the column because the new San Francisco online internet website, newspaper, whatever, I forget what it's called, the Standard, San Francisco Standard. Tim Kawakami is now writing for the Standard. They're behind a paywall. I have not paid for his stuff yet. But he was basically saying, like, you know, the way that if you're the Giants, the way that you kind of kickstart this thing again is you just look at what the Dodgers did, and it was finding Mookie Betts and betting big on Mookie Betts, because we're talking about the, you know, under control and all that. They traded for the young player who was already performing at an MVP level. The Red Sox could not afford him or did not want to afford him, and they wanted to take, you know, their top prospects. And those top prospects didn't really pan out in the way that they thought that they would. And so, you know, Dodgers get Betts. Betts is one of the top, I don't know, 5-10 players in all of baseball. And he was basically writing that, you know, the Giants need to find that player because they're not able to find that player through free agency. And it's probably a better bet because, like you said, with the contract, you know, and the options and having control, I don't know who that person could even be at this point. I would not consider Vladdy Guerrero that guy. You know, I know he is out there. People are talking about him. But yeah, so, you know, we'll see what they do or what Buster, you know, I would love to see if like Buster mapped out like here's my 5-year plan. Here are some of the targets of people we could trade for, you know, this and that. And so where are we now? Well, like I said, they also got Tanner Scott, and then it looks like they're on the cusp of bringing in Kirby Yates. Those guys aren't really necessary for them. They are like great to haves, probably in a different time frame. Maybe if they didn't win the World Series, they wouldn't be so freely spending on guys like that. Like, I don't know who they were bidding for to get Tanner Scott and that contract. They were just bidding against themselves at that point. But when you win and when you have that money, and this is a lot of this has to do with the cable deal. Like I mentioned the last time that we chatted, that so if you want to, in the Bay Area, if you are a Comcast subscriber and you want Giants baseball, Warriors basketball, you have to pay an extra $50 on your cable bill. That is insane.
Yeah, you're going to get a lot of people moving to streaming services at that point because I think I pay what, $95 a month for the Disney Plus, Hulu Live TV, and ESPN Plus subscription.
I'm with you. Same thing.
And that's in there. I mean, the Giants games are in there because even though I'm in Reno, that's our local. Our locals are the Giants and A's. Now, after the A's leave Sacramento and go to Vegas, I'm not sure because the Vegas Golden Knights hockey, they're also our local, and they moved to a new system, which is Scripps, I think is the sports broadcasting network that they're on. We don't get those games on Hulu, but if I had DirecTV, I'd get those games. So with the A's down in Vegas, I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen, but so I could see Comcast subscribers in the Bay Area jumping ship. YouTube TV.
Do we worry though? Do we worry that Hulu and YouTube TV are going to follow suit, or is that their competitive advantage by keeping the price down with the Bay Area sports?
I think that's their competitive advantage, but I think all bets are off once people move there and they get comfortable for 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. I think that's when you start to run into problems because they're going to say, hey, you come over here and we've got that around the same price. You're good. You don't have to go up in price. It's streaming. You can watch it on your phone. No glitching. It's awesome if you have good service. So you can move over there and do that. But again, in 2 or 3 years, now that they've got those subscribers, can they look at that and say, all right, we're bumping it up to the highest tier. But again, with Hulu Live TV, there aren't tiers, right? I mean, you can add
packages, basically. Yeah, you can add packages, like the sports package or the whatever has MTV2 in it, like whatever those packages are.
I haven't even looked in so long because we get HBO Max free because of our AT&T subscription on our cell phones. Mm-hmm. We have Netflix. We have, you know,
you see Netflix other bumped up their price too.
Of course they did. Yeah, I mean,
Netflix added something like 18 million subs in the last quarter. And a lot of that is because of that Mike Tyson fight.
You think people stuck around after that?
So it sounds like that they're, I'm sure they have a decent amount of churn when it comes to those folks, but
sure.
You know, they are now, they reported over 300 million global subscribers. And then because of that, then they raised their price. So I think like the top tier Amazon or the top tier Netflix price now, like if you want the 4K, I'm sure this is my plan. I haven't looked in a while, but
that is our plan.
It's like $25 now.
Yeah, it was $19.99 for a while, and I love it. I love the 4K.
Yeah, me too.
I think you know, I might have to do that thing where we ditch it, and then like when the news
monthly.
Yeah, you like just
monthly to see.
Yeah, you just ditch it, and then when the new season of Wednesday comes out, then we'll add it again until that show's over, and then ditch it. So there's so many other things to watch out there, but for $25 a month on top of Hulu Live TV, just to be able to have Giants games. I mean, you know, and this is somebody who left. I left DirecTV. I'd been with DirecTV for 30 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a long time to be with a service. And I left them when they got rid of Sunday Ticket because there was no reason at that point for me to be with them anymore. So now I use, of course, you know, you use your kids, school email address to get the nice price on Sunday Ticket, which is like half of what it would cost if you didn't. So, because in order to watch Rams games here in Reno, that's the only way I can do it. But so be it.
So be it. So basically what I was going to say is the reason why the Dodgers are in such good financial position is because they signed an incredible cable deal with their regional sports network that they get some insane amount of money per year. So, you know, they're just cashing checks and, you know, counting their pennies these days and completely fine. The last part, and then we'll move on to the next thing, 'cause I do want to talk to you about the pitching staff, the Giants pitching staff, by the way, not the Dodgers. We don't like talking about Blake Snell anymore.
No. Yeah, we're done.
So, what would it take? Because you just mentioned, you know, Adamas and Verlander. And, you know, according to Buster Posey, getting a shortstop was the big priority and they got the best one. What would it take for you to consider? Because the Dodgers are, I think the Dodgers have signed 7 free agents, by the way.
Right.
Signed or re-signed. I don't know exactly what it was. But so the Giants are at 2. What would it take for you to consider, you know, it successful or not as frustrating seeing the Dodgers just getting all the players that they want? Like, is it another starting pitcher? Because I wanted to mention Jack Flaherty. Like, Jack Flaherty is still out there. Would the Giants go after another starter, knowing what we know, which is what we've been saying on this show for over a year, which is, it's not really a 5-man rotation, right? It's you need to have multiple people ready in case of injuries and such. Would Flaherty be a guy that you would invest in? Would that make you happy? Would you consider that, wow, we got 2 starting pitchers and we can kind of play with Hicks a little bit. We can play with Harrison a little bit because we got 2 guys who are going to go out there and throw over 150 innings this year.
You know, with as much starting pitching as we have, what would it take though? So I know Robbie Ray is gone after this season. Verlander gone after this season. So if you lock up a Jack Flaherty at a decent enough price for 4 years, 5 years, I think I'd be okay with that. But if you have to lock him up for 6 or 7 years and he's going to block some of the younger guys coming up, I don't know if I'd be fine with a starting pitcher like Jack Flaherty as like, you know, oh, the missing piece. This is going to satisfy me the rest of the offseason. Let me look at the rankings again.
Who's even left still?
Well, and see,
Pete Alonso's obviously left.
Yeah, Pete Alonso, but I'm not happy with that either because if you've got Bryce Eldridge waiting in the wings, Pete Alonso for 1 year, 2 years, and then you've got to eat those draft picks again.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm okay with that. We've talked about this before. I'd be good with Alex Bregman because I think he would require a fourth round pick. Mm-hmm. And then you put him at second base, and then you've got Tyler Fitzgerald in right field to platoon with Yaz. Because Yaz isn't going to be around much longer. I mean, maybe this season, and that could be it. So Alex Bregman at second, Adames at short, Chapman at third, and then possibly Bryce Aldridge in the middle of the season. But, you know, everything we've heard is it's going to be next year. It's going to be 2026.
The way that Buster talks, it sounds like they're not in any rush this year.
I don't think they are, but
fine. Totally fine.
Yeah, sure. But look at it this way. If Lamont Wade Jr. and Wilmer Flores are hitting .210 combined,
yeah,
and with an OPS plus of like 75 halfway through the season, and Bryce Eldridge is mashing the ball in AAA, there's going to be a lot of pressure to bring him up. So, mm-hmm. So I think if you don't get a stopgap at first base, which again, I don't think Pete Alonso is a stopgap. Is Pete Alonso going to sign for 1 year? Are the Giants going to want to sign him for 1 year and lose more draft picks? I don't think so. So that's why I think you ride with what you've got at first base right now, and you possibly improve second base or right field, and then see where you're at about halfway through the, because again, Giants, if they're fighting for a wild card spot, and the missing piece is Bryce Eldridge, because first base offensively is so bad halfway through the year, you've got to be able to have that door to be able to swing open. You can't have Pete Alonso. Because if you got Pete Alonso at first base, not that Pete Alonso is going to struggle, but let's say you got Pete Alonso at first base and you've lost draft picks and he's hitting .240 midway through the season with 12 home runs, what do you do? You can't trade him at that point because you've already spent draft picks on him.
Yeah.
So I think it would be dumb to go after Pete Alonso at this point, unless you say, Pete Alonso, we're signing you for 5 years and you are our DH from day one through that 5-year contract. Okay. I'm fine with that. Right-handed DH, Pete Alonso. Good. Let's do that. But yeah, I think personally, I mean, we talked about this before. I've talked about it before. I like Bregman. I would be fine with him being our second baseman going forward.
Bregman would make it successful.
Okay. I think so. I think I would be happy with Adames, Bregman, Verlander, the youth we've got. I think that offseason, I would look at that and say, okay, that success going into the season, I feel like a wild card spot could be on the table.
They would mash left-handed pitching.
Absolutely.
Big time.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the rotation, because I think it was Alex Pavlovich had a column recently about it, and I was like, oh yeah, I kind of wanted to look and see what it looks like with Verlander in the mix. So if we have Logan Webb, you have Robbie Ray, you have Justin Verlander, Jordan Hicks, who they have, I think in Pavlovich's piece was saying that Hicks has been in town the whole offseason and is throwing every day. Like, he's really dedicated to becoming a starting pitcher. And then you have Kyle Harrison. And then I thought, okay, who else is out there for them? Because like we mentioned, it's not really a 5-man rotation. You need to have multiple arms ready to step in. And so you have Hayden Birdsong, who showed that, you know, he could come up and throw in a pinch if needed. You have Landon Roop, who was kind of in and out, probably more reliever than starter, but that is the option. And then I looked at who they have in the prospect rankings. Now, Carson Wisenhunt, is his ETA is 2025. That is this year.
Yep.
So we are probably going to get a look at him at some point this year. Now, I hope that, you know, some of that injury stuff is behind him, but he's going to be an option. Also an option is Mason Black, who was he pitched a little bit last year. I didn't set, you know, just by watching games, I didn't sense like that he was any kind of trajectory of becoming a frontline starter, but he's only 25. He has a, you know, he's probably going to be up as well. And then you have Trevor McDonald, who pitched for us last year as well. So you got guys like that. And I just kind of wonder, is that enough? Hence my question about Flaherty. But without Flaherty, is that enough, do you think, to fill out your starting pitching to make sure that we don't have to throw an opener, you know, every week or so?
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I think that's enough. Because again, you got Lucchesi, and then you're going to have other pitchers as well that the Giants are going to invite to spring camp. But when you go Webb, Ray, Verlander, Hicks, Harrison, and then you're looking at Birdsong, that's really like your six-man rotation, even though it's not going to be truly a six-man rotation. But if Kyle Harrison needs a breather, Hayden Birdsong is there. Landon Roop, I mean, he showed lots of promise last season. He could honestly, out of spring, Landon Roop could be your number five starter.
Mm-hmm.
And bump Kyle Harrison because – you know, pretty much everything Buster Posey has said about Kyle Harrison and Bob Melvin has said about Kyle Harrison is that, you know, we need to see that upgrade. We need to see that bump up.
Yeah.
This season. So does he start in AAA? There's always a possibility. I'm not saying Landon Roop's going to do it. I'm not saying he's going to bump him, but I'm just saying don't be 100% shocked if he does. But yeah, I think the Giants can start with that rotation. I think that's plenty going forward. To sign Jack Flaherty again, it's going to have to be. I mean, I'm not sure what the predicted contract is for him at this point, but I just feel like whatever he's asking for is going to be a lot, and I don't know if the Giants are going to be willing to give that. And you know, from what we've seen in the offseason, that's not the Giants' MO. It's not, you know, let's go out and sign a pitcher for 5 to 7 years. You know, Corbin Burnes, yeah, different story. Corbin Burnes and Jack Flaherty are not the same guy. Next season, there's going to be more free agents. You know, I haven't looked to see exactly who's going to be out there in 2026, but you are going to have more pitchers in 2026 that are going to, you know, be there and can fill spots for the Giants. Cause again, they're going to lose Ray and they're going to lose Verlander. But yeah, I'm satisfied with the Giants starting with that.
You know, I think if you look at this season as an opportunity to find what you have pitching wise, maybe it is better that you don't sign Flaherty. I would not tell the fan base that. I would not say, right, No, we're actively going to throw these young guys because we need to figure out what we have. But it would be nice to see what Wisenhunt has and what Birdsong can do and what Harrison can do. But at the same time, what we saw last year was we saw a lot of 3 and 4 inning games and then an overtaxed bullpen. So it's almost like if you do go that route, you're going to have to really invest in some arms and on the other side. And, the Ryan Walker, Duvall, both Rogers brothers, you know, Eric Miller, you have guys, but at the same time, you over-indexed the last couple of years in your bullpen. And can they sustain, you know, can you do that again? Probably not to be a winning ball club is my point.
Yeah. Now, this season, though, do you think we're going to see those guys who were pulled in the third inning or fourth inning get a little bit longer rope. Not to throw 120 pitches, but guys who are getting pulled in the fourth because they're at 76, 78 pitches. Do you think with this regime, Buster Posey and his collaboration with Bob Melvin, do you think you're going to see guys now, okay, instead of getting pulled in the fourth at 78 pitches, we're going to get you to the sixth around 100 pitches. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to get guys closer to 100 pitches. I think that's more of a possibility. So you may see a little bit more break. And again, it could be a game where, you know, they've given up four runs and you're down 4-0.
With that offense that you're basically waving the white flag.
But let the pitcher battle. Let him see what it takes to battle two more innings to keep that at four runs. You know, possibly instead of you gave up four runs in four innings, you're done. I mean, that's deflating to me.
Right.
And then if that guy throws, you know, let's just say Kyle Harrison as example, then he throws the fifth and sixth and doesn't give up a run. Maybe gives up one hit because he found something. Great. You go into the next start with some confidence. So it might be a little bit different when it comes to that this year.
Kyle Harrison said that he wants to be available. The best ability is availability. He wants to be there for the whole season. He doesn't want to spend any time on the DL. He doesn't want to hurt his ankle or whatever doing jumps or whatever. Remember what he did last year, whatever he was doing.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Doing barrel jumps or whatever.
Yeah.
That's also part of it. And, you know, the Dodgers are going to be they have to. They have to throw out their six-man rotation out there because you have Yamamoto and Otani. And if you bring up Sasaki's hasn't thrown in a five-man rotation before, so they're going to be throwing six starters out there. Now they're also the team that, you know, has the possibility of the most blown out elbows, so they'll have to be careful with it. But, you know, they have enforcements, they have a bunch of bullpen guys, so that'll be something to watch. I'm really interested in seeing. I want to see what Wisenhunt has, because I'm sure there's been some opportunities to trade him. And they've held on to him. If we were kind of talking about who is their Mookie Betts, I mean, if you were to find a Mookie Betts, I think the three guys that would immediately be traded would be Eldridge and Wisenhunt, and, you know, whether it's, you know, Luciano or whomever. So that is who else could be up? And this would be a fun one. If he is healthy and he is not a starting arm, but as a bullpen arm, Reggie Crawford, we were talking about left-handers earlier. Yeah. It'd be fun to see Reggie Crawford up this year. So that's
one. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. I wanted to make one mention because you sent me a link today. There is a in the San Francisco Giants Reddit, there was a San Francisco Giants podcast recommendations story or post. And of course, our guy, Roger from There Are Giants, that was the first one. He's going to be up there. He does such a great job with his website. The other one. So the idea of this post was, you know, Locked On Giants and Ben Caspick, not into it. I'm looking for something else. And I have a lot of respect for Ben. Like, Ben does a one person podcast, which is really hard.
He's the James Brown of Giants podcast, right? Hardest working man in podcast business.
Yeah. And, you know, he's done some good stuff. He's on YouTube and has his podcast and he does his I don't know if he does his graphics, but, you know, he's done a really good job. I will say that, you know, I've reached out to him in the past and, you know, he didn't get back to me, so I don't know if that's shade or if I should care.
He's busy.
Yeah, he's a busy guy. That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
But so they were looking for who else is out there, and so Giants Talk with Pavlovich and Cole Kuiper was mentioned, and then this great, maybe the greatest Reddit user that I've seen in the history of Reddit, with the username of DMM double M, said You know, Thompson to Clark is a very underrated podcast that I never see get mentioned. By far the best fan-made podcast I've ever heard. I thought about this for a second. I was like, okay, DMM double M. Do I know this person?
Is
this
like that's one what of I my thought friends? Too. That's what I thought too. I go, is my dad on Reddit?
And I thought, you know, I don't think I know who this is. And I think they just threw us out there. So DMM double M on Reddit. Really appreciate you throwing our show out there. You know, we are kind of like the little engine that could in that case. But I just wanted to mention that. And, you know, Giant Cocktails was mentioned. There's another one that I subscribe to their channel, but I haven't really listened to them much. Even Your Dynasty is also out there. So there's a lot of good stuff out there. Torture Cast. Let's see. I'm going to read a couple of the other ones because, you know, I love the idea that people are spending their time doing this stuff. I'm not a hater in any way.
Community. For us, it's a community. That's what it is. I mean, if you want to sit around and talk baseball, especially Giants baseball, and listen to other people talk about Giants baseball, we're all for that because that's exactly what we do. So
yeah, absolutely. So all of those shows, check them out. They're all really, and look, you know, we all put our time and effort into doing this. Some of it is because we like it. It's because we like doing this. We like talking baseball. We like talking about the Giants. It isn't just, you know, doing it for people to get information. No, we are, obviously there's a lot in it that we get out of it by doing it. So,
And for me, just a side note, I get to talk to you, my friend, about Giants baseball for an hour. Yeah. I mean, we talk about Giants baseball on text like all week anyways, but then to be able to sit here weekly and sit down and talk about like, hey, what's happened this week in baseball, that, I mean, to me, that's a big joy. So I do appreciate that. And that's why I stick around. I love it.
Yeah, no, that is definitely the best part of it for me is to have a casual conversation with someone who's as big of a fan as I am about something that we care about, right? Like, this is something that we care about and we have fun with. You know, this is not, if the Giants lose a baseball game, we're not jumping off a bridge, but yeah, we're kind of frustrated, you know, and this is an outlet for us at the same time.
When we lose a series to the friggin' Chicago White Sox, or not lose a series, but only win two out of three when we need to win some ball games like we did last year, that, you know, those are the tough times, but we stick around for the good and the bad.
Okay. We started this segment the last time we recorded, and we're not going to do this every week because we don't want to force the topics, but I did have another old guy moment the other day, and I kind of had a nice laugh at myself. So let's, I'm going to give my old guy, Alan, if Brad thinks about something, he can add his too. All right. My old guy, Ali, is, I was getting ready to go to the gym the other day. And as I've said on this show before, I have arthritis in both of my knees. So anytime I'm active, I'm wearing some sort of knee sleeve, some sort of knee brace, you know, and sometimes even when I'm not being active, even when I'm just at home and I'm like, gosh, my knees ache for some reason, I'll put on the knee sleeves because it's, you know, it's that compression that helps with the blood flow and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So getting ready to go to the gym, have my knee sleeves on. And I've recently started wearing these elbow sleeves as well. Because I've been getting back in. I want to lift heavy weights again. I have such a problem with trying to lift light weights and doing it for lots of reps. I just don't get the same feeling out of lifting weights in that way. I know a lot of people can do it, and it's the smarter way to do it because you're not going to get hurt and such. But I get the rush from lifting heavier weights. So now I have these goals about what I want to do and how much I want to be able to lift. I'm being as smart about it as I can. So I'm wearing these elbow sleeves. You can imagine I'm about to go to the gym. I got this knee sleeves on. Then I got the elbow sleeves on. At this point, I could be like playing linebacker for like a football team.
You look like you're pieced together.
Yeah. So then there are these things called wrist wraps. Now, I've had wrist wraps before. And what the wrist wraps are really there for you to hold your wrists in position, especially when you get tired, when you're doing like pushing things. Because when you get tired, your wrists can kind of bend back a little bit and it's bad for your posture and it can affect your elbows and this and that. So I've had these wrist wraps before and I was like, I couldn't really figure out how to wear them well with my Apple Watch because it's the other thing.
Oh, right.
Want to get the exercise and the heart rate and all that stuff from my Apple Watch. So I was like, okay, I can't wear these wrist wraps because I can't figure out, you know, I can maybe put the Apple Watch on my ankle or something. But that's not fun. So I must, you know, the targeted advertising on social media, I get this targeted advertising for these wrist wraps where they have a hole in the wrap to fit your Apple Watch face. Because the other thing that happens when you wear wrist wraps is, you know, the if you hold down one of the buttons on your Apple Watch, it's like, oh, do you want to call 911?
Oh, yeah.
So there's a couple of times where I'm like, nope, I don't want to call 911. And so
feel like you do, but you don't.
So then I bought these wrist wraps. So now I got knee sleeves, I got elbow sleeves, I got wrist wraps going on, and I haven't even left to the gym yet, and it's taken me like 15 minutes just to get ready, and I just had that moment where I'm like, this is what getting old is like.
And you're younger than me.
I am younger than you by a couple of years. But so the last thing, and then we'll get out of here. I know you track sleep stuff on your watch as well.
I do. That's how I know if I'm what kind of load I can handle exercise wise the next day. I'm big sleep tracker. Yes.
So Crystal has this app where she's constantly testing her HRV numbers. So I was looking at the HRV numbers and I was like, oh, in addition to making sure that your heart rate is, you know, on the lower end when you're sleeping, and then your heart HRV, which is like your sleep fuel, is kind of what they call it. So the higher, the lower the heart rate, the better. And then the higher the HRV, the better. And so I was like, so I started really paying attention to that HRV number. And in January, my HRV is vastly improved. And you know what I realized is the way to great sleep is going to bed at a decent time.
Yeah.
But also just not drinking. Like, that's the whole thing. As I have my...
But you can do it 3-4 hours before bed, sure, and be all right. Yeah, yeah. I'm 100%.
That's also the key, is drinking a lot earlier than maybe I, you know, having that glass of wine at 9 o'clock is probably not great. But also what I've done, and this is just what I've done for a health thing, is my intermittent fasting. I try and get all of my eating and drinking outside of water done by 7. So if I go to bed at 11-ish, you know, maybe closer to 12, that's a good
11. What are you, a teenager?
That's a,
you go to bed at midnight.
That's a good 4 to 5 hours before. I work from home, so I don't have to get up at 6:30 yeah. to get ready.
I get up at 5:30 every morning. Yeah, so
that's
if I thing. If I go to bed past 9:30, I'm starting to panic.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. But yeah, so that is, you know, that is what it is. It's stop snacking late. Don't have your cutoff for food and, you know, any sort of drinks outside of water, and get your sleep. That's the whole key to a healthier as you get older, but not anything that we would have thought about when we were younger.
No, I've really discovered that over the last year or so, that the sleep is the absolute most important thing. We have a Sleep Number bed, so it tracks the HRV. I've got a sleep tracker for my watch when I sleep. I've got a heart rate monitor that I track when I sleep. My heart rate when I'm sleeping is low 40s, 41, 42, 43. So I know if I wake up the next morning and it was in the 50s, I either had too much to drink before bed or something's going on. And now with the Apple Watch 10, I can track wrist temperature. So I think Thursday night I had a fever, was starting to come down with something. My wrist temperature was 1.6 degrees above what it normally was. And I went back and looked in my past ones. There was one night where we had a Christmas party at a friend's house. I had a lot of bourbon that night.
I saw the photos you were sending me. The photos of all the bottles.
My wrist temperature that night was higher than when I had a fever. So I'm looking at all this data and I'm starting to really digest it and saying, I see what it does to my body. And the most important thing is if I don't get sleep, I am thrown off. My workouts aren't the same. My morning routine's not the same. The joys of getting old. If you're young and listening to this podcast, just eat it all up right now. Do all of that stuff right now because you can. So
yeah, absolutely. All right. How many days until pitchers and catchers and all that stuff? Did you check that?
Oh, we're probably about 20-ish, 25-ish days away. But in 10 days, we've got the Caribbean Classic series coming up, and that's going to be on ESPN. And they've already got, I think I pulled it up here. No, I left it up and then I ditched it, of course. But either way, in 10 days, there are some games coming up that we can watch on ESPN, which will be fun. So.
And the Giants are doing the, you know how they used to do the, what do they used to call it? In February, where all the fans would go to the park.
Fan Fest.
The Fan Fest.
Now it's the traveling Fan Fest.
Yeah, there's three of them now, I think. So the one that comes to San Jose is supposed to be this weekend. I've not checked out what my weekend schedule is like, but if I can get out there, I would like to just get out there and
grab the boys and say, we got a job to do, man. Get some sound bites.
Yeah.
Throw on your Thompson to Clark hat and get out there.
Yeah, exactly. All right. We are done here. We will see you maybe soon, depending on if there's any news next week. We are not yet back in our weekly form because sometimes there's just not a whole lot going on. We don't want to force the topic. So if there is something going on next week, we will do a show next week. And if not, then we will skip a week and come back the following week. So for Brad, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yep.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.